Hey, this is Susie Larson. If you don't have time to listen to the full podcast, here's a highlight from today's show. The full conversation is at myfaithradio.com. As I said at the open of the program, that life does this. When you've been married any length of time, life ebbs and flows, the weight shifts, and before you know it, you're caring more than you bargained for. And this happens to both men and women because this is the nature of life. I'm kind of aiming the message at women today, if you don't mind, just because that's the content in my book, but I want to honor you men who are alone in marriage, whose wives are absent for whatever reason. And just to clarify, those one-sided seasons do happen, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes not. Sometimes your spouse is in seminary, they're pursuing an education, they're building a business, they're sick. But sometimes those one-sided seasons happen because one spouse is in sin or just plain selfish or unengaged and disengaged from the family. And whatever that reason is, the same things come up for us: anger, fear, worry, self-pity, and other things. So I'm going to be unpacking those things. So is there a way to thrive spiritually when our marriage feels like it's dying on the vine? I say yes. Yes, there is a way to thrive and even grow amidst such a time, because God's promises are true for us in this place. And so, as I mentioned, there are unnecessary weights that we carry because they just come up. When you feel like more withdrawals have been taken than deposits in the marriage, you're going to get angry after a while. In fact, Ephesians 4:26-27 says, "And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil." Hear that again. Anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. So remember this, that you might have legitimate reason for anger, and it's just kind of tempting to coddle our anger, to feel self-righteous in our anger. But we have to know that it's like going to sleep in a home that's in a bad part of town with all your windows and doors open. You leave yourself wide open to the enemy that he can rob you blind. It doesn't help anybody to nurse your anger, to nurse a grudge. In fact, even Aristotle said, anybody can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose in the right way, well, that's not so easy. So some of you, as I said, have legitimate reason for anger. And I say this with great care. That's beside the point, because unchecked anger will poison your soul. The verse I read acknowledges that we will get angry and lets us know that we sin by letting anger control us. And anger is like cancer. And when it goes unchecked, it disregards boundaries and it kind of goes where it wants. It's kind of like a cavity in your tooth. It eats away at your soul. Anger reads between the lines and says, "What did you mean by that?" We read between the lines and we just assume things are meant that aren't. Anger assigns motives. I'll tell you what you mean. When you're so angry, you get to the point where you start to think you're more right about what somebody meant than they are. Anger, unrighteous anger, is beneath you. So how do we reconcile our anger with this high call? Well, refuse to think of yourself as a victim, unless you actually truly are, in which case, get the help that you need. But I'm talking about just hard times in marriage. If we just continue to nurse our anger, the other person always seems wrong and we always feel right. Thanks again for listening to this highlight from Live the Promise. If you missed the whole show or want to listen to past programs, you can find them at our website at myfaithradio.com.